Good morning. Julie Fedorchuk with the Public Service Commission. We are reconvened for the admin portion of the Commission's June 9th Commission meeting. Let's see. We have three items on consent. I move passage of those items.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Thank you, Steve. And then we have a few items on discussion, which I forgot to add a third one. I thought I did. We'll add the discussion of the grant, additional grant.
Steve had one.
That was for scheduling the next commission meeting. The additional grant for reclamation. Okay, so there's three items on discussion. The first one is weights and measures registered service person permit testing. Wow, registered service person permit testing. Conrad, you have a proposal that you've provided to us.
Yes, thank you, Commissioner Fedorchuk. We, in House Bill 1008, with the 67th Legislative Assembly, the legislature authorized the commission and implement an assessment for the commission to be able to charge for registered service person testing fees. The language they used was testing fee not to exceed $25 per test. So there's some latitude within that. And staff wanted to bring this to the commission for discussion because these fees are to be put into place on July 1st, since it's part of the budgetary item. And so just a little background information off of the memo. We administer a total of 9 different tests. A registered service person does not take all 9 tests. They're separated into our general test, and then we have 3 scale tests, and additionally we have 3 liquid tests. Typically, a service person, when they come in, because companies will specifically work in one area, either scales or within the liquid area, which is all your meters. And so under scales, they're either going to be large, usually small, and very limited belt conveyor scales tests that we offer. But everybody takes the general test. So that's one that covers the laws and the rules for the state of North Dakota. So every service person is required to take that test. Each additional test is used to gauge their knowledge in a specific application that they're going to be working in, so that we can be assured that they have the basic understanding to perform and to carry out the duties that we would expect when they're placing in service commercial weighing or measuring devices within the state. And so with that being said, it averages typically a registered service person will take somewhere between 2 to 3 tests, sometimes 4 on the liquid side, but usually all in total, we're looking at 2 or 3 tests per tech that's coming in to test. We had some numbers here between January 1st, 2019 and July 1st, 2020. We administered 103 tests. Our testing rate went down last year just due to COVID and not having the building open to visitors. So it was very restricted at that point. But during that same time period, that resulted in 24 registered service person permits being issued. So we average, I'd say, probably 15 to 20 permits per year for new registered service persons. Now, we permit a lot more than that, but the only ones that are required to take the test are new permits. New applicants for a permit are required to test. Renewals are not required to test at that point. And so
the test is good for life. They never have to retake the test.
At this point, according to the administrative rules, they do not have to retake the test. And so what I spoke with, we had a meeting with Steve, with legal and accounting last week to talk about possible different fees, how we may want to structure that based upon the language that was in the budget bill. And so what staff is proposing for the commission is implement a $25 fee for the general test, since that's everybody is required to take that. That's kind of the base level knowledge requirement, and then each additional subsequent test would be a $10 charge after that. So if you've got someone that's coming in to take 2 tests, it'd be $35. If they're coming in to take 3 tests, we're looking at $45. And I would imagine right now for our service persons, you're going to be looking at each person for a testing fee would be $35 to $45 based upon that structure itself.
And how have you looked at other states? Is this pretty consistent?
Other states, there's not a whole lot of other states that have offered that require some testing fees. It's hard to get some data. I know Kansas does testing, but they do it through their community college. And I think their sessions, you're looking at $100. So ours are very reasonable compared to some other states that are out there.
But as some far states as don't require any testing at all?
What's that? I'm sorry?
You said that some states don't offer testing?
Some states don't require service person testing. Just depends upon how their state is set up and structured in their program.
Do you think, and it doesn't have to do with this decision now, but while we're on the subject, should that at least the general portion test, should that be a time limit on that? That, you know, maybe after 10 years or something, they have to come in and refresh? Or do you think that the law has changed so little that is all right to have someone potentially out there for decades?
I do feel, I know we just did a rulemaking for weights and measures and we didn't tackle this at this time. It was rather extensive. And I know I've spoken to Commissioner Crosius about this as well. I do believe that there should be a limit on testing as far as how long that test is good for, because as we now advance through our program and we're working on keeping the program updated as different technologies come out and as different handbook 44 versions come out, that there should be a requirement at some point to come back and retest to make sure that your competency is still there. You know, as the technology changes and advances, you go from lever scales and balance scales to digital scales and load cells. And so completely two separate different areas and how they're tested and how they function and operate. And so I know that is an option, and that would require, you know, some rulemaking to determine, you know, at what point would we think that, you know, is that a 5-year interval? Is that a 10-year interval to do a retest on that? But I do understand where you're coming from, Commissioner Christman, and would agree with that. And I know Commissioner Cross, I believe, I don't want to speak for you, sir, but you also expressed interest in having a time limit on how long that certification would be good for.
Nope, that's correct. Was it last week we had our discussion?
I think we spoke Thursday last week.
yeah, I was, well, as you and I discussed, I mean, does it expire after 5 years? Does it expire after 10 years, for example? And just the thought of having to circle back around, now we're going to start charging. We didn't before. And is it better just to do it all in one fell swoop, even if it's a 10-year period? But I think that's what has to be fleshed out. How rapidly do these things change? And there has to be a practical purpose to putting an expiration date in. So that's the part I don't have a good point of reference, really. It's like, you know, is it 5 years? Is it 10 years?
Right, as far as I can understand that, Commissioner. And just to offer a little glimpse as far as what another state does, I know the state of Kansas, we issue an annual permit, and we now have a annual permit fee that is within statute that's going to be implemented on July 1st as well. And so I know from the standpoint, you know, of testing, you know, some states will offer the option where they may issue a 3-year permit to a registered service person. And for that permit to be renewed, they have to come in and go through the testing again. And then, you know, then it's subsequently good for another 3 years instead of having an annual requirement. So you'd sync up kind of your testing with your permit renewal process. I know that's getting a little bit further out there, and we just had some major changes happen. But that is just a different example of that.
Yeah. I'd like to, before we add a deadline or a time period, I'd like to know a little bit more about the other states that don't even require any testing at all. So, I mean, some places aren't even doing testing, and then we're doing testing but having it expire, I'd like to know the rationale for. You know, I get it that the technology is changing, but, you know, we don't need, I just don't think we need to go overboard on it.
I have another question, too. Like, out of the 103 tests that were done in that 18-month period, this is a two-part question. How many of them pass? If they don't pass, is that something we go through it with them and kind of coach them up, and then they just sit here and take it again and all afternoon until they finally pass it? Or do they have to go back and do their homework and come in for a second try at it?
The way that testing is done is that, so at first part of your question, out of the 103 tests, 14 of those required retesting. So that's not 103 individuals that tested, that's just how many tests that we administered. And then out of that 103, 14 of them were a retest. As far as the retesting, it's within our administrative code that there's a minimum 10 business day waiting period before you can come in and retest again. What I do for those individuals is I certainly don't sit there and go line by question, say, well, here's where you missed this one at, and this is the right answer here. I go through and I can tell you this is the area that you're weak in. And this is an area that you're going to need to study and review a little bit more of this section of the administrative code or this section of Handbook 44 to prep for coming in for your retest. And
for the most part, they come back again, or do they just?
No, I would say else? No. I would say for the vast majority of it, I'm trying to think in the recent past, they've all come back to retest. To do that. And so, and also what we do, if they take multiple tests, if they pass the general test, they're now eligible for a permit. If they, you know, if they've passed, you know, let's say they're taking three tests and they've passed two out of the three, they'll receive a permit for placing devices in service within this test that they passed. They can't place devices into service or inspect them for the area that they failed until they come back and do a retest. And pass that competency test for that area.
No, I'm good with this structure.
Now, Conrad, when my turn to see if I can put words, the right words.
Fair enough.
And if not, but your preference was circle back on the expiration, potential expiration date, get this in place right now, and... Because that's you know, for me, that's, you know, in terms of, I don't know what, you know, in terms of the overboard portion of it, I think we're already there by just doing this to begin with. It's not a lot of cash, and, you know, you get into the whole philosophical point of what do these companies pay taxes for to begin with then? You know, if we were to charge for every service we implement at the commission. But in a perfect world, you know, we wouldn't even be talking about this. We would have kept the old process, but it's upon us, and I think we're there. So with that said, worry about the expiration date later. That's such a tiny part of all of this.
That would be my recommendation to the commission, is that we've got a July 1st deadline for our fee. I'm uncomfortable at this point proposing a time period for an expiration because, to be honest, it's an area that I have not researched. And as you and I discussed earlier, I don't want to do a change for the sake of a change. I want to make sure that there's a rationale and a very good rationale and data to support doing something of that nature, and not putting an extra overt burden on industry by saying, well, we're going to add this as well because we feel that it's necessary. So I would agree that's exactly where I would be at with my recommendation, Commissioner Crochus.
Okay. Works for me.
Okay. So I think we all support what you're proposing.
All right. We'll go ahead and proceed forward and get things geared up for implementation on July 1st. And then I'm sure we'll, you know, take some time and probably over in the further future, we'll discuss that additional portion of it. So,
excellent.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Conrad. Next up, February cold weather event. Victor?
Morning. So I passed out memos on each of the three cases that are part of this discussion. So this is the electric side of our cold weather event investigation. I've got to the point where I feel our investigation can be considered complete with minimal impacts to North Dakota customers.
Yep.
I just want to kind of give you an opportunity to see if you agree or want anything more, or if you're just ready for the next meeting to have quick motions to close them.
I'm supportive of that. I think the electric side was kind of straightforward.
I agree, and I think these were nice analyses.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That was...
Same?
Quick and painless.
Quick.
Thank you.
Good job.
There you go.
All right. Thank you, Victor. And then the third item, Dean, you might want to come to the table for this one. This is the discussion of the additional grant for reclamation. So I guess my question on this, based on what you were saying, Randy, is in the earlier part of the meeting, if we're waiting until, like, these retirements are kind of pending, and so if we're going to do some over hires, we need to get that going now. So are they suggesting that we go ahead and do all of that, and after we've done it all, go back and ask for money? Or are we supposed to just, like, because we could put the figures together now on how much that's going to cost and then make the request? Because I don't know, I guess I'm kind of uncomfortable with the leap of faith that we are going to get that money, doing it after the fact, you know, making the request after the fact, because these, you know, if we're over hiring people, we need to start, because Dean's right. proposed date is October.
We met with OSM yesterday, and at this point we're not sure on the retirements how many exactly there's going to be. We have a pretty good indication, and we have the money. We have the existing grant, or we'll have the existing grant, and their preference is that we spend that down, and then once we have a much better idea of how much we're going to need, you know, based on actual numbers for both, you know, the buyouts of sick and annual leave and bringing on the replacements, that we submit at that time, and make one application rather than, well, we need this amount, and then we find out we need additional amount. And so their preference is to wait as long as we can. They said it's been, you know, they've been able to turn them around fairly fast. We have a new system. It might not be quite as fast, but.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and we basically have pulled together our best estimates for everything, so we've run those calculations on our end. Kind of what OSM was saying is, if you have this grant application and we say, okay, we think we're going to need $300,000 extra dollars in emergency funding, what they're trying to avoid is not that they couldn't give us that amount, but then once the grant application closes, if it turns around and we give back $200,000, they would just rather us, I think, spend it down, get a better idea, and then ask for what we need at that point.
Was, or ask what we already spent, basically.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, they want us to assume that we're going to get it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I don't think it's... I didn't sense that their recommendation is that we wait until we're, you know, absolutely out of money the last 2 months or something. Mm-hmm. But, you know, maybe once we've gotten through a couple of these retirements and maybe some of the others that we wonder if they may occur during this grant period, that by then those will be closer, and we might know that then.
Right.
And just firm up the numbers better than we can at this point.
Mm-hmm. Because kind of the one piece that's still very hard to build in is, you know, we talk about if we try to bring people on and kind of double up positions to do some training and mentoring. The other thing to keep in mind is, if you do that, some of these positions that you're talking about, could very realistically be filled internally. So then you're still having to kind of refill or, you know, fill positions on the back end. And so it's possible that you might have some savings just because if we put out, for example, you know, attempt to cross train at Dean's level for a couple months, if that happens to be filled internally, well, now we have to turn around and fill that position. So it's possible that you're still going to have some roll up, like some dark time savings in that area. And that's where I think OSM's preference would be basically don't submit the grant app, submit the grant application that's going to start July 1, but basically don't ask for the emergency funding at the same time. Maybe wait 3 months, 6 months, see where we're at, and then ask for the additional emergency amount.
I'm fine with that. It makes me a little nervous, but could we get something from them? Like, do we have an email where they put some of this in writing? Okay.
Yeah, we have emails. It's just, I mean, there's nothing. We don't have, I would say, like a formalized agreement of any kind, but we have email documentation. We've had phone calls. We've had in-person meetings.
And I'm aware they've done this in other states in the past, in the recent past. We're not the only state that's going through the same situation.
Sure. Yep. Dean, do you have any excuse me? Do you have any concerns, any changes at the federal level that might conflict with the approach that we're taking?
You know, we were on an IMCC a call yesterday with OSM yesterday afternoon. And the president's budget has $65 million in it for state grants. That's down just slightly from where we've been. We've been at $68 million for state grants, and what we've been spending is about $61 to $62 million. And they've been... This unappropriated balance has been building. So there's a number of sources. First of all, there's the grant money, plus there's this unappropriated balance that's sitting out there that's available. So, you know, the amount that we're talking, I think that they have that in reserve for these very types of things. So, you know, I guess there's always... the unknown out there that you can't control, but I think they feel relatively comfortable that they're going to
nothing that keeps you up at night.
Yeah.
Yep. Because the one thing that they did note is we would have to come up with the state match amount, the 36% state match amount. There's no way around that. And one thing that they did note is a lot of other states for their programs are having trouble getting that state match, so they're actually cutting. So that's why there's kind of more funds available to allocate to other states for instances like this.
Okay. All right. Well, worst case scenario, if we do it and something changes, then we'd have to go to the emergency commission and ask for more money.
One thing, both the Casper Field office and the Denver regional offices, they're very supportive of the states. They just assume we do this. They don't. Right. They want to provide us the money to do it instead of having them do it.
Sure. Okay.
And the best case scenario is that we have fewer retirements in the next year than what
that would be
that
a
might
nice.
Happen.
Yes.
And I'll be working to try to work on dates.
Good. All right. Thank you. I don't have anything else on that. You guys good?
Okay.
Thanks, Dean and Jill and Steve. All right, then we're down to scheduling matters. We have the first item was something that I had asked Brian to add, another work session for NODAC Electric. I have, as I said, I was going to look at some of the arguments again in more depth because I felt that our staff was coming at it from a different perspective from what I was where I had arrived. And so I did do a lot of digging in that and analyzing and contemplating. And so I have some different thoughts that than what I expressed at the last work session, and wanted to offer to share those so you guys know where I'm coming from on that. These are always a big deal, and I think it's helpful if we're all going into it wide open in awareness where we're all coming from. So that's why I added this. Do you guys want to have another work session?
I'm okay with having one. I don't need one.
I don't need one. I've
but I'm certainly willing to listen to new ideas.
Okay. Well, I guess I'd rather have you guys hear what I have, so you know where I'm going to be on it, and the logic behind it. So I don't know what kind of a deadline we're under with this decision. Do you have a sense on that, Brian? Either of the Brians, I guess?
Well, Brian Johnson, just to be clear, you have been doing a lot of the legwork on this, and it's
good. I haven't inquired lately as to where construction is at and things like that. I mean, the sooner the better, but I don't think there's a real immediate hard and fast deadline. Nobody's indicated that there is one yet. I think construction's able to progress you know, up until the point where it's finished and they have to hook up the power, but the rest of it can all be done.
Okay. Yeah.
I guess I do have, I think, an understandable concern over just buttoning this up, and we've spent a lot of time on it, and I think the information's been that's been out there for a while, and so I guess I would, where I'm at, I've been working with Brian on drafting an order. So I think that I did ask if you could have that prepared in time for whenever this work session might land. So,
yeah, and it should be, that shouldn't be a problem.
Perfect.
I wonder if, I don't know what Steve was referencing when he talked about adding another scheduling thing with the next commission meeting. It seemed to me, you know, maybe we want to have this enough before the next commission meeting that
we could,
depending
on
how
it.
How the work session works out, we could potentially act on.
Sure,
it.
I agree.
So should we set the next commission meeting or discuss that and then set this date?
Sure. I would like to keep the commission meeting scheduled on the 23rd for the 23rd.
Do we have an informal that day too? Or is there nothing? Okay. So what's the issue with the 23rd?
We're going to rip the room apart and do all the upgrades to the electronics. And it's going to be part of the week of the 14th. And then the programming is going to be 21 and 22. The chances of something going wrong on the 23rd are pretty high.
Is there another, like, can we use a legislative room or anything?
We could do something like that. Yes.
Wasn't there kind of a moratorium on that?
They have released some rooms. Now, not the big ones, but we wouldn't need a big one. And you probably wouldn't get a broadcast out of it. But you could have the commission meeting and you have whatever work sessions you wanted. They just wouldn't be able to
broadcast. It seems like that week's kind of failed, and if we move it to a different week, it kind of throws off the rest of the pattern for the summer.
Yep, I agree.
I would be okay with doing it in a different room if it looks like that's going to be necessary. I don't know how far out we have to give that notice.
Discussion, what does Friday look like for you guys?
This
I'm
Friday?
Gone.
On Friday the 29th.
I'm out.
You're out? 25, I'm sorry.
I think we should keep it on the 23rd and have a just find a different room. We'll just have that meeting that's recorded but not broadcast.
Yep.
Are you good with that, Brian?
Yeah, I'm fine with that. It's actually too bad that BSC isn't in session or going back to that. I do think at some point in time having a commission meeting offsite, exposing it to college students, because then we know at least someone will attend, because they'll probably be forced to by their
teachers
versus making it optional.
Yeah. Not a bad idea.
I think it's not something we can do every time or that often because of the logistics behind it, but it's a great way to at least open up the process in a different way to the public, and you know, how they respond is up to them, but you know, part of it is making ourselves available. So
okay, so we'll look for a different, and maybe best case scenario things are done here, like you never know. Yeah, okay, so you'll take care of that location. Yeah, okay, so with that set, then we should go back and try. I'm thinking then next, the week of the 14th, next week sometime, we should try to have a work session.
You're going to have the same problem there.
How about Tuesday morning?
14th, 15th, 16th. I have my so bored week next week too, so that's a little tricky on that 14th, 15th. And you're out, so look at 17th.
The end of the week is problematic for me.
17th is fine.
We'll have to find a different room for that too.
You're out on the 17th and 18th, Randy?
Yeah.
Well, what about, would we be able to do it yet this week? Oh, we've got those hearings.
Yeah.
I wonder if that hearing is going to take up all of Friday. Does anyone have a sense for that ADP, two full days?
I can't
either.
Could we, it's a double schedule, like 10 a.m. on Friday?
Preferable to that, I'd rather. And if it has to be me, if somebody call in the following week.
Sure. Yeah. All right. That's fair enough.
Wait a minute. You're going to call in for a work session the week of the 14th. Okay, that's another one. That whole week, we're probably not going to have this room. It's going to be.
Steve, I have a question. The committee hearings are in the session take place in these different rooms. People dialed in remotely. You think the system? There is a system.
Most of the rooms with equipment in them have not been returned to legislative council or from legislative council to the rest of the state so that we can use them.
Well, can you check with your friend again?
I'll do some checking.
Because that worked great. Matt knows how to do it. It was seamless.
We'll
go back to that Prairie Rose?
Pioneer.
Sorry.
Pioneer is definitely
Pioneer.
So I doubt we'll get that. We might get one of the smaller ones.
Okay.
I mean, worst case scenario, we can do it from, especially if somebody's calling in, we can do it from one of our offices. It's a work session.
How do you record it? Oh, a work session.
We can do it on a coaching meeting if we have to. Yeah. We can make it work.
Okay. So, with that in mind, do we want to look at, let's see.
So how about the morning of the 17th?
Okay. Let's see here. I've got. Speak to the MISO Board of Directors at 8:30.
I am in Grand Forks the 16th, 17th, 18th for training.
What about?
I could.
What about the 15th? Oh, a MARC annual meeting. 14th?
But that and the 15th isn't until the afternoon, 2 in the afternoon. Oh, but Brian, you said you were going to be gone. Can you
what
call
about
in?
I have mice aboard that morning.
I can call in from Grand Forks too. I can step out and.
Well, we could look at the week of our. Let's see, what about the 21st? I don't know. I mean, 22nd afternoon doesn't give a lot of time before the meeting. Or this Friday. Oh yeah, you're tied up. Or you don't want to overschedule, is that it, Randy?
I was hoping not to. Well, I guess. Well, what? How about this? Can we do it on Friday? And let's do it early, right away in the morning, like what we were going to with the hearing anyway. And if it becomes necessary, then NSP people are just going to have to understand we're starting a little bit late.
All right.
So you
want to
do it Friday at 8:15? How long do you think it will take? An hour?
Probably.
Well, the 18th, I don't think you have anything. Are you meaning the 11th?
The 11th.
Yes.
Okay, 11th, okay.
I mean, the 18th would potentially work for a call-in. It does look like it's pretty open. Would that be better for calling in, Randy?
Well, why don't we just do it on Friday?
The 18th? Or this Friday?
The 11th. If
okay.
That order that
sure.
Brian was talking about can be done.
Well, and you're here. This
I am here, yep.
Okay, that's better. Let's do that.
But when I say if the order can be done, I mean, if it gets handed out at the beginning of the work session, yeah. That's not very helpful. I mean, can it be done? Tomorrow already?
I can try to get it done by then.
And you have two orders, right?
Correct. Yes.
I think we need to look at both of them.
I just have one.
You have one and I have one.
Oh.
And I can get the one to you, Julie, so you can take a look at it right away, and I'll be hopefully finishing the other one today. And I can get that to you to take a look at.
Okay, so that would be this Friday. We could just say 8 and go 8 to 9, and then if we need to start the hearing at 9:15 or something like that, if we have to go into Friday. Does that make sense?
Yep.
Work for you, Brian?
Yes. And
okay.
From the scheduling standpoint, yes. I really don't think... The Heartland Divide win will, since we're starting at 8:15, I can't imagine that going 2 days, to be honest.
Can't either.
It's a PPA.
I sure hope it doesn't, but
it's an ADP
for a long time on that.
Or no,
isn't going to.
Or is it a PPA or?
Yeah.
It's an ADP.
You've got some other things.
If it does, I've got a dilemma.
For a PPA.
So it is. It's ADP for a PPA.
Or a
7. Sounds A-OK.
I'm trying to keep it on the DL, but...
Sounds A.
A-OK?
A-OK.
All right. We're set. Anything else? If not, we are adjourned. Thanks, everybody.